I'm Gab, he's Jules. It's cloudy, crappy skies over West London, but you know what? It doesn't matter because we've got a tremendous show for you. We have the Europa League final, scenes in Seville. We have the run-in in Serie A. We've got Mbappe news, we've got Messi news, but we have to start with the run-in in the Premier League.
Only a few days to go.
For the ninth time in 30 years. I don't know if this is a little or a lot. I couldn't figure it out. It's going down to the wire.
Yeah.
Last day of the season. And this is all because Liverpool played Southampton on Tuesday night. Yeah. And Liverpool won. Liverpool won 2-1.
Yeah.
But Jules, when I saw the lineup, I was absolutely shocked. Because again, context on the scenario. Liverpool are behind, and they're behind on goal difference as well. So people were cracking jokes. Aha, it's Southampton. Remember when they lost 8-0 or 9-0? Hasenhüttl, ha, ha, ha. You know. So I assume, right, they're going to pump them for goals. But no. Jurgen Klopp threw us a curveball.
You've got a Champions League final coming up. You've got the final day of the season. I think Klopp thought, even with a B team, even with Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones and Tsimikas and Joe Gomez, we can still beat a team, Southampton team, that physically were there but mentally already in the Bahamas. So I just thought...
And it was a Southampton B team too, by the way.
It was, to be fair. Even the formation and the back three, as they use at times, but it was not very good. So other clubs thought, you know what, even if we go behind like they did, same against Aston Villa, we can come back and we can win this. And they did.
They did. It's pretty ballsy. I guess he looked at the table, and I think in the end we're going to look back on that West Ham game and that City played at the weekend, and the fact that they drew, you know, having been 2-0 down rather than losing, and he said, you know what, there's not even goal difference isn't going to come into this anyway, because that extra point makes a difference, right?
Yeah,
so
it
the
does.
Chances that they finish level on points and goal difference becomes a factor are, let's face it, close to zero at this point,
completely,
right?
Completely.
So when you put it that way, at that stage, he said, let me just get the 3 points. If they have a bad day and they draw and we win, or you know.
Do you wonder how much he really believed they can win the Premier League? I mean, he said, I don't expect City to draw points against Villa anyway, so may as well think more about the Champions League final than the Wolves game and the last game of the season, because he probably feels like they have a chance, but not really have a chance kind of thing. Oh, you don't think that comes in his mind?
I want to talk up the last day of the season, right? Wait, but this is... look, in the real analytical world, he knows it's stacked against him, right?
Yeah.
And he knows...
Massively.
And this is what I think is interesting, right? We hear the talk of the mentality monsters and all this stuff, right? And the psychology of the penalty shootout. But that final was draining, and he paid the FA Cup final the week before, and or the Saturday before, and he played his best players. So to me, that says, I want to prioritize winning trophies. I want to win a treble this year.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it's the League Cup, FA Cup, Champions League treble, I think that means more. That's where I have the best chance to win this. You are putting a lot of eggs into a basket because you don't know what's going to happen at City with their makeshift defense. You don't know what's going to happen this weekend. So
no,
I'm just fascinated. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but these are the big decisions you have to make.
Yeah, and you got it right because they won. They're 1 point behind now. Okay, the goal difference hasn't moved. Well, it moved by one, but so it's still they're still far behind. But they still very much have a chance.
How weird was that goal, the winning goal?
So weird. But like, I don't think Matip knows anything about the ball coming. And Walker Peters is clearly closing his eyes and then hoping for the best. And that's it.
From Pep's perspective, when you see this, when you see that he played an understrength team, do you think it impacts your approach on the last day? And I know the stock answer is no. Look, just wait and focus on yourself or whatever.
Yeah, I think we should.
I think a little bit. It says they're slightly giving up the ghost.
Yeah, I think so. But do you remember when Leicester won the title and they were all the players were at Jamie Vardy's house watched the Chelsea Spurs game because they knew that if Spurs didn't win, they would be champions. There was none of that in Manchester. I don't think there was any City players at the same house just in case Southampton were beating Liverpool and to basically win the title for. We sent a reporter, another guy for French TV in Manchester, to watch the game in a pub with the City fans ready to celebrate in case, and there was no one out there. No one was watching. Everything was empty. It was just like, because maybe they didn't believe that Southampton could beat Liverpool and they knew already it would all go down to the last game on Sunday.
That's phenomenal television, by the way. The reporter, the empty Mancunian.
He was on his own there saying, oh, yeah, it's just me here.
All right, just to recap for those who've been under a rock, we have Manchester City playing Steven Gerrard's Villa, yeah. Chock full of former Liverpool players. And we have Liverpool hosting Wolverhampton Wanderers. It's all going to be over on Sunday. All right, Jules, if I read you correctly earlier, and I think we both agree on this, Klopp, and I think it's entirely understandable, is he's playing the percentages.
Yeah.
He played the percentage of the FA Cup final. He played the percentage. And in some ways, you could also argue, you know, the FA Cup final is a good warm-up for the Champions League final as well in terms of what you go through. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can't do everything. My players are tired. My players are worn down. You know, I can keep beating the mentality monster drum.
Yeah. Like, take Salah and Van Dijk, for example, because I think Fabinho, this game on Sunday would be too early. But Salah might play. It might just be 50%. Would you risk him, really, against Wolves?
No, but would you have risked Mane or Trent?
For Southampton? 100% no. But they will start on Sunday, for sure.
But they weren't even on the bench. That's what I find interesting about the Southampton game. They weren't even on the bench. Well, you said, like, oh, yeah, and then they bring the cavalry off the bench. Fine. You want to do that? You want to go Gomez, Tsimikas, blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Those guys weren't even on the bench. That's I mean, you're saying, like, oh, it's okay, I've got Origi.
You know? Yeah, no, I see what you mean. But I think they would have dropped points. They could have easily drawn that game, although they were much better, and I think they deserve to win. And he would have thought, you know what, it's okay. We had an amazing season so far. Now it's all about the Champions League. We've got 10 days to prepare. That Wolves game, we don't really care. It's the last home game of the season, so we're going to do a lap of honour with all the kids and the wives and everything. But then that's it. It's all about Paris. And
Look, I think he made the right decision. And I think he made a brave decision. Because I think it takes a certain type of person who can say, all right, there's no right answer here. But I'm going to do the one which will set me up for criticism. Because imagine they lose that game, and then imagine City drop points on Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, but people say, like, oh, you know, you should have gone for it. You're cowardly. And imagine that then has a knock-on effect as well, that is a storm of negativity, and then that affects him in the Champions League final. So I think it was brave.
He was brave. I don't have a problem
when people make decisions and stand by them. And then afterwards, he spins us the whole line about the Ferraris in the garage and whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, he's supposed to say that. I don't have an issue with that. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting. It's not something I expected to see.
But you would not risk anyone on Sunday. We agree with that, right? You won't play Van Dijk if he's only 50% or Salah if he's only 50%, because there might be a risk that there's a setback and then they miss the Champions League final. Which game is the most important right now? No, and don't give me the BS or the next game is always the most important.
Obviously, if they're 50%, I wouldn't risk them. I might be more... in a one-off game like this against Wolves, I don't think a center back is going to be as important in this game. I mean, why? I need Van Dijk to contend.
Well, yeah, especially with Matip and Konate. Like, you've got enough depth in your
squad. And I think Salah as well. I would expect Mane to be back for this game, though.
Yeah, definitely. And Trent.
You know, and hey, if you've got Trent at right back, if you've got a front line of Mane, Luis Diaz, there's another one who didn't play at all, right? He was on the bench. Mane, Luis Diaz, and Jota or Firmino, That's enough for Wolves. Exactly. I don't need to bring in Salah.
Because I'm going to send Wolves on holidays to, so I said Bahamas for Southampton. I think Wolves could go to somewhere very exotic, I can see that.
All right, I want to ask about the last Liverpool manager to win a Champions League title, Rafa Benitez, because he gave a long interview to us. I don't know, have you interviewed Rafa before?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
I've had it too. And I think... He starts out saying, at least with me, he started out saying, oh, no, we're going to go, just going to be manager speak, you know, and he says all the right things.
Yeah, all the right things.
But then he can't help himself.
Yeah.
And then he gets a little bit honest. And because he's human, and I don't say this in a negative way, right? He said a couple of things. He said Frank Lampard had to take responsibility for Everton's position because of where they were and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, debatable. I mean, obviously he has to take responsibility because they're in charge, but, you know, kind of team effort, right?
Yeah,
Everton's
stinker
of a season. Then he made a comparison with Klopp, and he said, like, oh, I only had £20 million to spend a season.
But to make what point?
Whereas Klopp, you know, he can spend £47 million on Jota and this and Luis Diaz and these guys on the bench. What do you make of this?
But what I don't understand, okay, this, the bitterness I think a lot of people have in them, and we saw that with Ronald Koeman, who every time he opens his mouth now is to criticize Barcelona or Xavi.
I knew Koeman was going to come up.
I know. He's lucky I didn't call him the Dutch guy again. But why? Why are you so bitter? Like, it doesn't make you a better manager or a worse manager than Jurgen Klopp if you had less money to spend. You might have more money to spend and you might not have been as successful as you were at Liverpool. And the same can be said for Klopp. Klopp, they sold well. They were able to reinvest that money and buying Van Dijk and buying Fabinho and those kind of players. Plus, they're far more profitable. Well, they get more money now because they win more things than at his time. But I don't understand.
The market has changed.
Yeah. But I don't understand why you would come now and try to undermine what Klopp is doing at the club, because for you it was a bit different.
No. And you could also be churlish and say, hey, look, they sold Coutinho and Luis Suarez. Yeah. Who at the time were the most important players at the club.
He could have sold Gerrard and reinvest that money, that 100 million or whatever it would have been, 60 million for someone else.
So, to me, Rafa will always be a Liverpool legend, right? And I do think that if I was to psychoanalyze from the outside, I think some of the bitterness that he sensed in the air when he took over at Everton, coupled with the fact, well, he's like, I reached two Champions League finals with Liverpool.
Yeah.
I won two Champions League finals, right? Did he win two? I'm imagining the Valencia
one. The one that he won is worth two easily. So,
yeah. With those 8 minutes of madness. But yes, I want to remind people that I'm here, that I exist, that, you know.
But this is a weird thing about that generation.
Is it that generation? Is it you? Are you going to draw a parallel between him, Mourinho, and the other guys who were in vogue in those years?
There's a lot of former players who think that the new generation has forgotten them as players before. And for Benitez, it sounds a bit the same. But I don't think he needs to remind people how he won that European trophy with Liverpool and what he did at Liverpool before.
And what he did at Valencia as well, which is huge.
I don't know. I'm always a bit surprised by all that kind of thing.
Well, in terms of ex-players, we've touched upon before about Patrice Evra's comments about Manchester City and Pep Guardiola's approach.
Yeah.
Patrice Evra, by the way, says a lot of things, very active on social media and whatnot. Yeah, yeah. But he made the point that the reason that Pep's teams go out is because they lack individual personality. They lack players with big personality who are winners. Now, we've discussed this on the show and said, it's not really fair because it's not really true, because obviously his teams went out when he had Manuel Neuer and Thomas Muller and, you know,
true.
Those guys are big personalities,
right?
Big
personality.
But Pep responded to it.
Really, really, really brutally, I thought. I mean, I love it because you know exactly Pep, I think, can sometimes bite his tongue, not to be too brutal at times when he answers questions that he doesn't like. Sometimes you can tell by his face and the body language that he hates either the question or he even hates being there in front of you. And for Evra, you knew he was going to let it go, and especially after the disappointment of that Real Madrid defeat. And he basically said that when his team used to destroy Patrice Evra's team, which was quite often, to be fair, and especially in 2011 in that Champions League final at Wembley, then he could not see the leadership and the strong character of Patrice Evra on the pitch, which I think is a little bit petty.
It's petty. It's entirely unnecessary. What?
I don't think Pep, he's Pep Guardiola. He's one of the two greatest managers right now. Why do you answer Patrice Evra to start with, even if you disagree with the comments?
I think it denotes maybe a certain amount of nervousness, a certain amount of regret about the way this season. I still think he looks at his team.
He's being criticized overall, in general. I mean, no one likes it, I guess. But
because it doesn't happen very often, because his team are so good. I mean, the easy answer for Patrice Evra, and Patrice, if you're watching, you know, this is all you got to say is, yeah, but there were other players with big personalities. I wasn't talking about myself. I didn't have a big personality. Other guys with big personalities on my team,
sure.
You know, which there were, incidentally. I don't know. This whole personality, you know, we hear this take the game, player who takes the game by the scruff of the neck and blah, blah, blah. Again, to me, some of it is a little bit nonsense, because I look at Kevin De Bruyne. He doesn't scream and shout. He doesn't go and, like, you know, make crazy tackles. He doesn't wave his arms. He does get red-faced because he's a little bit ginger and runs around a lot. But The man is playing with painkillers. The man is injured.
And he was not even on the pitch when Real Madrid scored their goals anyway. So
No, but leaving that aside.
I see what you mean.
He is a big personality.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and there's different ways to be a big, assertive personality.
Yeah.
I think sometimes this whole, like, dressing room, leadership, voodoo. And look, it's not just in football, right? You get it in management, too, right? About, oh, let's have the leaders of tomorrow and blah, you got a good... You know, if we're talking in the business world, I kind of think... If you do your job, if you lead by example, if you stand up to be counted when it matters and you put in the effort, and Kevin De Bruyne, I'm just singling him out, but I could see others, puts in just as much effort as whoever you think the worst City player is. I mean, what more do you want? What are we talking about?
Yeah, I understand the leadership point, though, I have to say. It felt that defeat at the Bernabeu, and we said it on the show as well. I think they like being in control, and when they're not in control, they are a bit lost, to be fair, because that's what they taught, how to always be in control. And when that goes wrong, then I think they don't really know how to react. And also, I think the lack of leadership at times from within the pitch maybe explain the lack of reaction and how you concede. If you look at, they very often concede goals back to back in games.
Yes, you've talked about it. I think that's true. I think there's an aspect there to that. I think it's a lot more complex than
just saying Pep doesn't
like leaders. But anyway, I've got my popcorn.
I've got just one last thing. Remember how we talked about that company that helps for penalties at Liverpool? Did you see that AI company that is also helping club with the team and stuff like that? I just thought I'd point it out because
you probably think
it's nonsense. I'm not really sure completely. I need to look into it.
I know there's the other one that's helping them with injuries and kind of
that's the one in the
red zone and stuff
that's
like that.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly how that's what they do. I don't know exactly, but it seems that on the last 6 months, well, it's funny when we say that when Van Dijk, Salah, and Fabinho are all are injured right now, but it seems that they've had less muscular injuries than others in the last 6 months or something.
Over the course of the season, yeah. And look, every so often, these companies, I mean, I think 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, well, go back through the years, you had Milan Lab and Milan and Mersman and saying, like, oh, we had an 82% decline in muscular injuries or whatever, you know. Who's counting it? Football clubs don't need to disclose injuries, right? You had the other one, another company that worked with Getafe, which got a lot of buzz. They raised a lot of money a few years ago. Getafe was kind of like their test case. I think from the outside, it's really difficult to judge because muscular injuries can happen in many different ways. You need a large data sample
That's true.
I do think, though, there's obviously science in it. And so I don't view this in the same light as the guy who during the penalties.
Okay.
Yes, who says, like, oh, look, Tuchel's still scribbling on a piece of paper.
But at the end, it's the same thing. The little details that can help you win. Why not taking all those people on board if they can help you?
Well,
I don't think many people work with an AI company to try to prevent injuries like Liverpool do.
I think most clubs have, maybe, whether we call it AI or not, but most clubs obviously have close monitoring of this. And there are a lot of companies in that space. Look, it's an interesting one. To me, this is medical. This is measurable. To me, this makes a lot of sense. The neuro people, look, if it makes you take penalties better, fine. Thomas Tuchel, he wasn't prepared. Thomas Tuchel, he didn't show the right body language, confidence when he's kneeling and he's still scribbling things down, whereas Klopp gives everybody a big hug. That, I'm not buying, is that that is the reason that Liverpool won on penalties. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, enough Premier League run-in, Jules. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Eintracht Frankfurt have won the Europa League. They beat Rangers on penalties after it finished 1-1 after extra time. Jules, deserved on the night?
I thought so. It was exactly the game that we thought would happen, that the game that we kind of described before, in the sense that Frankfurt were always a better side. I think their back five, the way they're structured, is such a nicely drilled team. They're better on the ball, and especially for Rangers without Morelos, for example, and some of the key players, it was always going to be more of a hard performance than, you know, using the ball well. In fairness, they scored first, Rangers, and I thought after that, okay, maybe they're going to close the shop and that's it.
They tried.
Yeah.
That was a pretty big defensive blunder, I thought, on the cross.
Massively. But first, Scott Wright has to close Kostic. The one thing that Kostic is really good at, which crossing. The whole entire world knows, is crossing.
Left-footed crossing.
On his left foot. How can you leave him that space to put that perfect cross and then...
But the center back, Golson, though, I thought that was worse. It's like...
It looks like he almost...
He's like, let
the ball go.
Maybe a goalkeeper called for it.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. But
it's really strange.
To be fair to Rangers, they looked like they had more energy in extra time, and of course they had that
shoot
tremendous chance of Ryan Kent, Liverpool guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Was that a great save from Kevin Trapp? Will you tell me it was a great save because I'm a PSG guy, or should Kent have finished better?
It's both. I think it's a great. I mean, he leaves his leg, and then the ball hit the leg. I don't know if he knows much about it. Similar one to the Brice Samba for Nottingham Forest against Sheffield the other night as well, where you go for it and then you hope that either one of your two arms or one of your two legs will hit the ball. But Kane should have scored that, I think, 100%. But in the end, well done for Frankfurt. In 30 years or 40 years was the last time they won it.
Been
I think
a long
82
time.
Against Gladbach. Well done for them. They'll be in the Champions League. 5 German clubs next season in the Champions League.
Yeah, Hope Bundesliga.
And Gab, some people get snooty about the Europa League. We've said that before, especially this year when we had the team that was second in Scotland in the final against the team that was 11th in the Bundesliga. But the fans in Sevilla put quite a lot of big spectacle.
I thought it was absolutely tremendous.
Amazing.
It was absolutely... I mean, if you're just watching on television, you have literally a sea of blue, and then you have that sea of white on the other side. Both sets of fans kept it up. I mean, obviously two very lively sets of fans. There was some trouble in town as well. Not as much as some people thought there was going to be or made out there was. I think this is great. Like, I'd say I have ties to both cities. I've been to Glasgow many times. And I used to live in Frankfurt. So for me, as a kid. So for me, like, you know, this was nice. And, you know, I got no problem with this. I think it's great. I think those people who look at this purely from a business perspective, right? The Super League guy, oh, it's got to be Real Madrid against Manchester United. Otherwise, I don't care. This was a tremendous spectacle.
It was tremendous for
the neutral, even though the football wasn't great necessarily.
Yeah.
But you had drama, you had tension. Well done to the two of them. They got nothing to be ashamed of. And I genuinely think the Europa League works.
Yeah, I agree.
The ethics board of the French Football Federation has asked Paris Saint-Germain's Idrissa Gueye to respond to suggestions he missed the game against Montpellier because he refused to wear a rainbow shirt in support of LGBTQ rights. Jules, are they right to call him in to explain himself?
I personally think so. I can understand if people disagree with that. This is the ethic committee, again, and they find it unethical.
Unethical
that he refused to play, because clearly now we know.
Did Paris Saint-Germain come out and say he refused to play?
Maybe they should
ask Paris Saint-Germain first, yeah?
Well, it's not their fault.
Well, no.
It's his fault. So we know now that he refused to play. So
Paris Saint-Germain have confirmed that he refused to play.
Yeah. Okay. But even his camp, everybody is briefed that he didn't want to play, like last season where he had his stomach back. Okay. So you call him in and you say, can you please explain what the reasons why you didn't want to play? What's wrong? We saw the Senegal president come in and defending him and saying he's got religious belief. We have to respect that. Okay. But I don't think this was acceptable, to be fair.
Personally, I think before the French Football Federation gets involved, PSG need to get involved.
And but they are.
First of all, they need to come out on the record and say he refused to play. And because he's our employee and he reflects our company, they can compel him to say, listen, you need to speak out and say why you didn't refuse to play.
I think they're even reassessing his future at the club.
Well, that's fine. And if we respect your views, but we're your employer, and if they're not in line with our values we have a right to take appropriate action. I have it written into my contract, right? I can't say things that don't reflect my company's values. It's the same thing. It's real life.
Yeah.
But I wish Paris Saint-Germain had taken more of a leadership in this rather than some outside body.
But I wish he had said something already.
Oh, of course.
Because that would not have been happening. No. If he had explained his reasons before, that would not be the case. And if we stick with Gay, his Senegal teammates, Ismail Assar, the Watford forward, and Cheikh Kouyaté, the Crystal Palace midfielder, have been criticised for appearing to support Gay on social media, although for Assar, he deleted his tweet. And Crystal Palace boss Patrick Vieira was asked in his press conference yesterday as well, and he said that he would speak to Kouyaté. What do you make of that?
Vieira, I believe, is Senegalese descent, right? I think he was actually born in Dakar.
Look,
I think people are entitled to their views, however unpleasant and however much I might disagree with them. If you want to show support for a teammate in this context, that's your business. Equally, when these guys sign their big contracts with their clubs, they have public behavior, reputation, contracts. And then you say, does this violate it? If it doesn't violate it, that's fine. I don't think we can create a climate. This is illegal where they come from in Senegal, right? So I think it's fair for people to say, look, these are our values. If you want to be here, you must accept those values, or at least not do anything publicly against those values. But again, I think it's got to be the clubs who take the lead on this.
No, I agree with you.
It's crunch time in Serie A, Jules. Milan have a 2-point lead over Inter and travel to face Sassuolo. Inter hosts Sampdoria. Milan have the tie-breaking head-to-head. Yeah. It's their title to lose at this stage, right?
It is massive league, Gab, of course. Even just a draw would be enough for them to be crowned champions. They've bottled it at times on the last game of the season before. It happened before. I don't think it will happen this time. We said that they've played at times like champions. I mean, I thought Napoli would win it, so I'm completely out of it. But now between Milan and Inter, I think Milan are the favourite. They have so much confidence. Even when they can't score straight away, they don't panic. They've got clutch players like Rafael Leao, Tonali and Theo, who have been amazing the last few weeks for them, even if the rest of the team hasn't been playing great. And defensively, they're so strong. So I don't think Sassuolo will score. I know Sassuolo is a tougher team than Sampdoria for Inter. And even if you go away from home, but I can see Milan doing that.
Only one I would say with Sassuolo, it's like they're like the box of chocolates, right? You never know what you're going to get, and they can turn it on.
That's true. Juventus, meanwhile, drew with Lazio back on Monday night, but the story was the tearful farewell of Giorgio Chiellini and Paolo Dybala. Gab, this was really emotional.
It was emotional. It was funny. So, like, Chiellini, like, obviously, like, in Juventus Stadium, they love doing this. They turn on the lights, they play the music. Not the most imaginative, right? Because it's like, it's like, you know, I got a feeling, and then the stupid song from Euro, We Are the People, right?
Yeah.
Giorgio Chiellini's there with his kids, and it's funny and it's sweet, and he's just been so important for the club. Although it's not clear that he's really going away, because I think he'll be back in an executive role. That's either it's MLS or an executive role. We've said before.
Yeah, he might still play even.
In MLS. Keep playing.
Yeah.
Not for Juve.
No.
But the other one which surprised me was Paolo Dybala. Paolo Dybala was crying.
Yeah, but proper crying.
Proper crying. And like, I know part of it is he looks like he's a child anyway, just the way his face is. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, dude, like,
I know.
You kind of created this situation.
Too right.
But still, a tremendous send-off. And look, Dybala has done a lot of important things for Juve.
Yeah, of course. They're
recognizing that. Some people want him to stay, but
it just be strange next season when he scores for Inter, you know, at the J Stadium. That's all I mean.
Is he going to play for Inter? We'll see. Jules, I remember when Kylian Mbappe was going to let us know his plans in the next few days.
Oh, Kylian.
Well, next few days have passed, Kylian. Any more clarity?
Oh, man. This story, I think he's doing a lot of people's head in. I mean, even Kylian himself, maybe, and the whole family on what, okay, go on and now announce it and decide. And
is he monetizing this at least? Like, what?
No, not even. It's just not even a saga.
But this to me says he genuinely hasn't decided.
I think he, I mean, he said on Sunday he has decided.
Mostly.
Almost. Mostly, yeah. But, I don't know. PSG don't believe that. They can keep him now. They've tried everything. I think, in a way, they're not trying anymore, but they're like, okay, we're still here. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when he will announce it. Now people used to say, okay, he will announce it before the game at the weekend. So if he leaves, he can say farewell like Chiellini and Dybala that we just said, because the game is at the Parc des Princes. Now people are saying that he will wait until maybe the week after, so the Monday, from the Monday onwards, before he joins the national team on the Saturday. I don't know. I still think it's likely, very likely, that he goes to Real Madrid and they know.
If he does announce it at home, we know what the crowd is like at the Parc des Princes. Would there be any resentment towards him simply because if he had said yes a year ago, they would have had another 180 million? Whereas now they're not.
I think it almost would have been worse a year ago.
There's no resentment towards
him. I don't think there would be, no. Okay. I don't think there would be. And meanwhile, Gab, reports in Argentina suggest that Leo Messi is on his way to MLS. And they also claim that he will be offered a 35% stake in Inter Miami when his contract with PSG expires in June 2023. So there's two things. One, playing for MLS. And two, owning a third of an MLS franchise.
Now, there's a fellow named Jorge Messi, who I think knows Lionel Messi pretty well because it's his dad. It was also his agent. He's denied this. 35% stake in Inter Miami. I tried to kind of figure out how much is this actually worth, because you know, David Beckham bought the club for $25 million, but that's because he negotiated into his thing when he went to the LA Galaxy and whatever. Franchise fees in MLS... run, I think the most recent was $200 million in St. Louis. Miami, I would expect to be more expensive than St. Louis, plus it's been operating. I mean, 35% is going to be a really big number. I can't imagine them just giving it away to, you know, so this to me sounds really bizarro, frankly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't see why he should be in a rush to the side. He'll still be Lionel Messi in June 2023.
Yeah.
Also on Monday, Arsenal lost control of their own top four destiny when they lost to Newcastle 2-0. Jules, this was really ugly. Arteta says they must, quote, swallow the poison, and that Newcastle were, quote, 10 times better. Is he right?
Yeah, I think he's right. Yeah, Newcastle were far better. I think the pressure got to this young Arsenal team. The pressure got to Arteta himself, I think, who made some mistakes too. Like the pressure got to them against Spurs, and they had it in their own hands, and now they don't anymore. They would need Norwich to beat Spurs, which is not going to happen, and them to win against Everton at home. And that's it. But maybe fourth was overachieving. I really believe that. I'm not sure they're ready to go into the Champions League. I don't think they've got the squad, even if they invest heavily in the summer. I think fifth is more where they are right now, I think. It's hard because you lose it to Spurs and they're your arch rivals and all of that, and because you had it in your own hand. But I'm not sure it would have been a blessing to qualify for the Champions League.
Here's the flip side, right? You're qualifying for the Europa League. You do not have a very big squad to begin with.
Yeah.
You couldn't take advantage of this season when Manchester United stunk it up as they and fell apart, when Spurs changed managers after 10 games of the Nuno nightmare experience. And you didn't have any European football. So you got to prepare for every game.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference. And so next year, they have Europa League. They got to try this assault again on finishing top four and growing. They're going to have to make the squad bigger. I think it's undeniable.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, which they will, for sure.
I think it's uphill. I think it's uphill
You can qualify for the Champions League and have a horrendous season because it's just too hard. The Champions League is too hard. To compete on both levels is too high.
But you get more money and you bring in better players. I know. Big summer ahead.
Yeah. Sticking with Newcastle, despite the wealthy Saudi ownership, manager Eddie Howe says they won't spend big, Gab. They're linked with Ivan Toney, Patrick Bamford, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, those kind of players. You buying it, or you still think that there might be one or two like proper markets?
Listen, everything that we've heard from Newcastle is that, yes, we've got all the money in the world, thanks to PIF, which is a totally separate legal entity from the Saudi government. But equally, we'll spend the money, we're going to grow gradually. And if you're going to do that, then, I mean, I don't know, some of these guys, Dominic Calvert-Lewin coming off an injury, Bamford coming off an injury, Ivan Toney not coming off an injury, but is he really, you know, this big upgrade? I don't know, but I think that's how you grow. I think there's an element of Eddie Howe as well, where I don't know if you rock up with like 10, especially foreign stars. His record with foreign players historically hasn't been
exceptional. Yeah, they know Bruno Guimaraes.
No.
Trust me.
Bruno Guimaraes is a much easier sell because of where he comes from. So, yeah, no, I think growing gradually makes sense for Newcastle.
Yeah.
Blackpool's Jake Daniels has become only the second active men's footballer to come out as gay and the first in the UK since Justin Fashanu more than 30 years ago. The other one, of course, Josh Cavallo, came out last year. Jules, your reaction?
It's amazing. Well done to Jake to have the courage of doing his coming out like this. I think it's incredible. And I think this is part of the fight as well in the beginning for him. So good luck for the years to come. Meanwhile, Gab, the FA is investigating one of his teammates, Marvin Epiteta, for homophobic tweets that he made a decade ago.
This is stupid. I think this is going to end in nothing. I don't see how it's relevant with what he said a decade ago, especially the nature of what he said. He complained about there being too many gay characters on a TV show. He agrees with Nigeria outlawing gay marriage. And he did this 10 years ago when the world was a different place, when Nigeria is a different place in Western Europe. Most importantly, Jake Daniels said he's moved on. Lay off of Marvin Epiteta. If he doesn't have a problem with it, I don't.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The Robert Lewandowski, Stacey, what I did there. Went all Derek Ray. Saga rumbles on at Bayern. Jules, what's the latest?
We have a proper saga, Gab, on our hands. Rumors everywhere. Opinions that have he's in Barcelona. He bought shirts with Lewandowski names in the back. No, he's in London.
10 shirts, apparently.
10 shirts. No, he's in London. No, there's this. Robert is waiting. There's other clubs, like we mentioned before, PSG, Chelsea, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I mean, I hope now he can go, you know, he can go a bit on holidays. Then I guess he would play the Nations League with Poland. I don't know, man. I can understand Barcelona trying. And Laporta said, oh, let Alemany and Cruyff work in and let them work. And they're going to try to come up with something. If you're Lewandowski, do you wait? How long are you going to wait? How long are Barcelona going to put something together? How much money do Bayern want? Do we know that already?
Can Barcelona sign him?
Can sign him. They can't even register players that are going to come on a free.
Like Kessié and Christensen.
Yeah, like, let alone, you know, signing and paying a transfer fee. Plus, I would think that Lewandowski wages are going to be higher than Kessié and Christensen.
Well, also, what's up with Alba too? Like,
well, I guess it's still. So Adama is going to go back to Wolves.
Right.
So then you're going to have Ansu, Torres, Oba. There. So Dembele is potentially out.
Right. Memphis.
Do you keep, do you sell? Start to be a lot of people up front.
Well, no, but I'm also wondering if I'm Aubameyang, right? I come here to play the last football of my career, right? I sign this contract. And now you bring in Lewandowski.
Who's older than me?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems. I mean, I'm assuming Memphis is done because Memphis is somebody you could actually sell and make money.
Yeah, yeah, you would think so.
But also, do you want to put yourself in a situation where, you know, you've signed Lewandowski, so you have to sell Memphis? And why is it Memphis being linked to anybody?
This
whole thing
is really strange.
Logically, I was just thinking about this. All right, where would he make sense? I think where he makes sense is actually Paris Saint-Germain, because you have a big salary slot open. If Mbappe goes, you know, he gets to play. But more sense than that for me would be Leva, stay another year. You're going to be the main man. They're not going to sign another striker. You know, they're going to work on that season. And so what? You've made enough money, and then you're a free agent at the end of the season, unless you get injured.
Yeah.
You
but
know, stay,
clubs, those
break
clubs
the record.
In what? A year. Those clubs would be there in a year. You think? Like the clubs who want him now, who could have him now, would they still need him or need a striker in 12 months?
I'm assuming he does not have this burning desire to experience football in a different country because he spent his entire career since leaving Poland in the Bundesliga, right?
Yeah.
Unless he's making this lifestyle choice, but then make the lifestyle choice in a year's time. If he's making a footballing career choice, to me, the logical thing to do is stay at Bayern. And
it might,
but you know, you've got records you're pursuing as well.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, you're a free agent. You can go wherever you want. But this situation, and Bayern don't like to be shown up. I don't know.
No. You're right. Manchester United are linked with two Ajax players, defender Julian Timber and holding midfielder Lisandro Martinez. Gab, smart choices if you're Ten Hag?
Smart choices in the sense that they need a center back and they need a holding midfielder.
Yeah.
With Matic going. Kind of totally unimaginative choices, and I kind of wonder to what degree this is just coming from the media, like, ooh, what Ajax players are good, you know.
Next,
link Gravenberg, I would assume, right?
Yeah.
Mazraoui's already on his way, so, like, I mean,
don't know, but it makes sense for Ten Hag to go and get players that he knows really well and know they know the way he plays too.
It makes sense. And I think of these two, personally, I'm not sure Lisandro Martinez is some massive upgrade or he has a massive upgrade. Timber, a little bit different. Timber looks like a very, very good player.
Yeah.
But I just always get a bit of the heebie-jeebies when manager moves and he signs the players he had before. I don't think, if we're to believe what United have briefed so far, that you know, it's a comprehensive look around Europe, we'll take our time, so on, we're not just going to go and sign all the former Ajax guys, then it's a different story. Otherwise, yeah. Timber, Lisandro Martinez, get Frankie de Jong from Ajax,
so yeah,
you can pay for Lewandowski. I mean, I don't know. I bet Timber, phenomenal player.
Yeah, from what we've seen thus far. Right back, center back, yeah.
Nottingham Forest outlast Sheffield United in a penalty shootout. Wow. That means they advance, and they're going to face Huddersfield Town in the championship final for a place in next season's Premier League. Jules, this game was overshadowed by a lot of nastiness. We had Sheffield United manager Paul Heckingbottom living up to his last name and slamming the ball in Jed Spence's midriff while Spence was about to take a, I guess he thought he was time-wasting. Yeah. He goes up and a little hissy fit there. Ollie McBurnie, the translucent man, stepping on a fan and a supporter running on the pitch. The fans run on there. This guy is on the ground. It's not, he says he accidentally tried to avoid him. He ends up stepping on him, whether you want to argue whether he didn't touch or not. And then finally, some fool runs out. Huh. And poor Billy Sharp, who, by the way, I believe is a former Nottingham Forest manager, right? Nottingham Forest player. He's purely just standing there. This guy goes, I'm just...
Headbutts him.
I mean, he runs at him. I don't even know if he intentionally had, he certainly intentionally wanted to run into him.
And you see the video, he runs straight in, like, doesn't slow
whether he
down
wanted
nothing.
To headbutt actually headbutt him, I don't know. I but don't still, know. I mean, this guy's been arrested, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a freaking zoo.
It is crazy. It was crazy. As great as the game was from start to finish, really fantastic. The twist, the drama, the penalty shootout, of course, all of that. The rest we saw after. And you know what? I used to love a pitch invasion because you show your passion and you're so happy and it's dangerous now. Please stop doing it. And I think a lot of clubs are saying don't do it. They still do it. I don't know if you need more stewards.
There was another one in League Two as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. But everywhere, like, don't do it. I know you're happy. I know you got into a playoff final or into promotion or whatever. And I know you want to celebrate. And it's dangerous for your own players, for the opposition players, things like that with the Billy Sharp stuff happen. So just don't do it. You can show your appreciation in a different way.
I completely agree. I also think there's an element here where managers have to take responsibility for the way their teams play and how they behave on the sidelines. And I'm talking about Paul Heckingbottom here. Because you can say whatever you like. Man's time wasting, right? He goes up and he just slams the ball into, you know, somebody else. A player does that, at a minimum, they get booked. At a minimum, right?
And, it's more of a brawl, more attention, and so on.
This is not necessary. Grow up. You're a grown man, Paul Heckingbottom. Come on, you let yourself down and you let your team down.
Yeah, definitely. Luka Modric is expected to sign a one-year extension, keeping him at the Bernabeu until June 2023. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I do wonder about why it's taking this long. But
I know.
It's funny. Remember when Carlo Ancelotti said, like, oh, you know, actually managing these players isn't hard when you've got players who've won four Champions League titles and, you know, and you leave them out and they accept it? He's talking about Luka Modric. And I think this is the epitome. He's been a great pro.
Yeah,
he's accepted his role. He doesn't demand to play every game. You know my thoughts on extensions for older players,
but
on big wages. However, it's 1 year. He's not being greedy. He's not being mean. You know what? If he has another season like this,
of course,
then he maybe gets a year after that.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how players. This is what
the way he should be doing.
Players who've made a lot of money in their careers. You know, come on. What do you need? The multi-year payday at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, come on, man.
No.
Christopher Nkunku has been voted Player of the Year in the Bundesliga. Obvious choice, right, Jules?
Completely. And now hear me out, because this is very important. So France will go into the World Cup with the best player in Ligue 1, Kylian Mbappé, the best player in La Liga, Karim Benzema, the best player in the Bundesliga, Christopher Nkunku. I would think the best player in Serie A, because if Milan win the title, it'd be either Marc Maignan or Théo Hernandez, maybe even Pierre Kalulu.
So, okay, maybe in England, it won't be a friend. But just to say that France will win the World Cup, obviously, because we've got the best player from all the big leagues in Europe. That's what we do. That's what we do. Big story out of the US, Gab. Historic agreements between the men's and the women's national teams mean that they will pool revenue and effectively be paid the same. This is huge.
It's huge. It brings to an end, this sort of ongoing rumbling, not just on the women's side, but on the men's side, because, of course, the men hadn't signed their collective bargaining agreement either. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of misconception, misunderstanding in the way people who don't follow football read this whole thing when they heard about equal pay and the World Cup and, you know, the prize money at the World Cup. At the World Cup, there's a certain amount of prize money based on how much revenue is generated by that World Cup.
Yeah.
Which goes to the federations depending how they do in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, whatever money goes to the federations who are in the World Cup, in the case of the women's game, and this has been FIFA's defense, and I think they're absolutely right, whatever money we can spare, we want to go to develop football in other places, not necessarily, because if you look at who does well in the World Cup,
it's
wealthy countries with wealthy FAs where the women's game
always
is established,
same,
right?
Yeah.
But the U.S. is slightly different because, of course, the U.S. women's team has been commercially successful. They've been phenomenally successful on the pitch. What they're doing is they're pooling all their income, effectively, men's and women's together, and they're splitting it between the two.
Yeah.
They've had to give up some things. For example, before, the U.S. women's national team had players on central contracts, which means they got paid by the U.S. Federation, as well as by whatever club side they played for. They had all sorts of assurances of health care and so on, which obviously, you know, Christian Pulisic isn't going to have because he makes more money at club level.
So
it wasn't easy to sort this out.
I think
it's a big step. I think it worked in the U.S. I think what's crucial here is the players, the men's players and the women's players, they're the ones who made this happen.
Coming together.
Sticking with MLS, the Players Union has revealed that the Chicago Fire's Sherdan Shaqiri will be the best-paid player in the league, earning around $8.1 million a season. For those who like their wages weekly and in pounds, that's around £130,000 a week. And by the way, for those wondering about Lorenzo Insigne and his supposedly 10 million euros net bazillion schmillion, which I don't believe, he's not in the survey.
No,
he will be later once he joins. And we'll find out who's right.
Yeah. I mean, this is almost twice, not completely twice, what he was earning at Lyon, which, again, I cannot believe that Chicago Fire gave him that kind of contract, paid that kind of transfer fee for him. Let's see how he does now in terms of what he brings to that team and if he can carry them and how far they go and how good he is. But I thought from day one that this was a huge contract, far too big for him. That's a big gamble as well. And I just hope it works for them because it's a huge investment, man.
It's funny. I think 2 and 3 were, if memory serves, Chicharito and Gonzalo Higuain in whatever order,
yeah,
and both around $6 million a year. This idea that people go to MLS to, you know, get rich, I think, well, might apply for Shaqiri.
Yeah, because, for Shaqiri, yeah.
But I think, I don't think it's quite the case anymore. And
no,
if you look at
sure.
the attendances and the prices, they're in line with the top clubs in Europe. Where the big gap is are the TV contracts.
Yeah.
That's the big difference right now.
Yeah.
Amnesty International has called on FIFA to pay an equal moment in World Cup prize money, 440 million, in compensation to migrant workers in Doha and Qatar. Gab, do they have a point?
I mean, they have a point that compensation should be paid to migrant workers in Doha and their families who were injured in building infrastructure projects for the World Cup. FIFA came out in a statement and said, well, this money's been paid. We're not the ones who should be paying it. It should be the Qataris because they've got rules. It's their country.
Yeah.
The amounts that have been paid have been nowhere near 440 million. I don't know if it's a symbolic figure or whatever. FIFA can also come out and say, none of us were here when representatives from countries all over the world, most of whom are now have either passed on or have been banned or indicted or whatever. When those guys voted and gave it to Qatar, we weren't here. This administration took over in 2016. They weren't part of it. It's a question of how you can remedy. I think there's a lot of grandstanding here. Single most important thing I think that FIFA and the world can do is not just change the laws, because they have changed laws and minimum wages, but make sure that the resources and the channels are there so that migrant workers know their rights and they have a pathway, a real pathway for recourse when it happens. And then that continues after the World Cup. There's been talk about funding some sort of agency that they could go to in confidence, filled with lawyers, you know, familiar with Qatari law, familiar with employment law, that they can, so that they can go and have these things addressed going forward. That can be a positive lasting legacy, I think, of this World Cup.
Yeah.
Bild are reporting that Ousmane Dembélé has been offered to Bayern. Jules, don't they already have enough wingers?
They do. I think this is in case the Serge Gnabry situation is not resolved in a way that they still cannot find an agreement over an extension. And I don't think Bayern would be ready to lose him on a free the following summer, which I think, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if Bayern would want to give Dembélé an enormous salary either.
No, I don't think, but maybe you see him differently. I don't know. I think the way, the money that you gave to Kingsley Coman, which is a big, big, big contract, maybe
so
that you're not
less
ready.
Than what Dembélé made at Barcelona.
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's an interesting one considering, I mean, not that he stayed for at Dortmund for long, but the impact that Dembélé had in the Bundesliga before, you can see why they're interested in, and have made contact. I think there's still a long way for, before Dembélé arrives in Bayern, but I think it's an interesting one. And meanwhile, Gabi Ivan Perisic is out of contract at Inter and is reportedly being courted by Juventus. On a free transfer, of course. Makes sense to you. I mean, Juve, love a free transfer. Di Maria, Pogba, Perisic.
Yeah, no. look, I don't... Again, okay, I should correct this, right? It goes back to how much money he wants and for how many years. He's had a tremendous
he's
end
33
of season.
Or 34,
right?
Yeah.
He's if you can't think in terms of 3-year deals at this stage of your career. If it's 3 years at $6 million net, which is the number that was thrown out
created,
there,
yeah.
It's far, far too much money. And I don't think it's the right choice for Juve. Yes, do you need another winger to supply Vlahovic? Of course.
Yeah.
Go and find one. Go spend your money and somebody else is going to have resale value. This makes no sense to me. Yeah. I mean, Pogba is different because he's younger. And I think Pogba is also probably more durable than Perisic. Yeah. Throughout his career, obviously, Perisic is a great season. But no, I think Perisic is kind of playing. His agents are doing what agents do. But no, I don't think this would be right for Juve. Mm. One of my favorite games of the year, the Bundesliga relegation playoff, pitting the third bottom team in the Bundesliga against the third best team in the second flight, kicks off in a few hours. It's two-legged.
Yeah.
Between Hertha Berlin and the Bundesliga and Hamburg from the second Bundesliga. By the way, every league should have relegation playoffs, I think. I think this is fantastic drama.
Yeah.
And there's added drama here. Because Hertha boss, the lovable and cuddly Felix Magath, obviously he's a Hamburg legend. He spent 20 years there as a player, scored the goal that won them the European Cup final back in 1983, I believe, in the final against Juventus, 1-0. He coached them. He was director of football there.
Everything.
He says his heart's only with Hertha, which obviously makes sense. That's his job right now. But I think this is a phenomenal story.
It's an incredible story. And of course, he's conflicted. Of course, he must want to see Hamburg back in the Bundesliga because this is a club he loves. He wants to see Hertha staying up as well. I mean, Felix Magath is quite brutal. You could tell he's quite brutal. I'm not sure how much he does into feelings and sentiments.
I'm not sure he has feelings.
Exactly. So maybe he just sees it as it's two games. Whoever we play against, I don't care. You know, I need to win them or stay up and whatever. But there would be a feeling when he see that shirt against him and be like, oh man, of all the games that could have happened, this is the case. Jose Mourinho says the Europa Conference final between his Roma side and Feyenoord next week is the most important final of his career. I mean, come on.
Jules, with your anti-Mourinho agenda. No, I read the whole quote in context. The next final is always the most important. He said it within context. So for him, because this is the final he can't control. He can't control the finals that came before, where either he won them or lost them.
That's true.
So, like, he's G-ing people up. I'm really excited for this game against Feyenoord because, honestly, like, he's got Roma fans in the palm of his hands right now. And this is massive. And honestly,
and if they win that, even more, yeah.
Yeah, and look, people are like, oh, but the Europa Conference final, yeah, what does it mean? Like,
it's a trophy.
But it's not just a trophy. It's a trophy, it's a stage, it's a journey you go on together. Like, nobody thinks that, you know, you're going to be better than Real Madrid or Liverpool if you win it. Nobody thinks that. But it makes a huge difference to these people involved.
But the pressure is on them because they are favorite.
Borussia Mönchengladbach have parted ways with manager Adi Hütter. Did you know his real name is Adolf?
Yes, but we can't say that, really.
Well, I'm not surprised that somebody whose name is Adolf Hütter goes by Adi Hütter. Anyway, Jules, less than a year ago, they paid 7.5 million euros in compensation to get him out of his contract at Eintracht Frankfurt. This has got to be one of the most expensive mistakes in football history.
Completely, Gab, incredible, with a good squad as well, to have such a poor season, really, is baffling. I mean, we both like Adi Hütter. He did a really good job before Frankfurt and even before that in Switzerland. I don't know if, I think he was maybe too different to Marco Rose in the management side of things, maybe, even tactically.
But you paid 7.5 million euros incredible. To get a manager.
No, I mean, Frankfurt, who just won the Europa League, and it's been thinking like, oh yeah, and also we got 7.5 million for the guy before.
Incredible.
Napoli have signed André Franck Zambo-Anguissa for 15 million euros, making his loan permanent from Fulham. Good move, right? He had a really... really good season.
He did a really good season in Spain before that too. And he's really good. I know it didn't work out for him in Fulham. Fulham are happy they have the money, presumably, but he's a player. The guy can play. Definitely. And he's so well-rounded in his role. So, and he's got lots of character. They love him there.
Yeah.
Ilkay Gundogan continues to be the subject of rumors linking him with a move away from Manchester City. Jules, he's 31. He has a year left on his deal. Is this just about him, say, maybe wanting a new contract? Or does this mean that City will have to bring in two new central midfielders, given that Fernandinho is also leaving?
Yeah, Fernandinho for sure. If you're Gundogan, I think you take your time. Like we always say, at his age, I don't think he needs to rush anything. If Guardiola and City want to offer him something, he can have a look, study it. In a year time, he will still be in his kind of prime-ish, although he's played a bit less this season, and he will be a free agent and he can decide whatever he wants. Go back home to Germany, go to another league completely, and I think that's the most important here. I don't think you need to rush anything or, you know, get ready already. You're in a very strong position. If you want to stay, you know you're going to be a big part of that team. Going forward, if not, in a year time, you're free to sign anywhere you want.
No, I agree. And I think what's slightly underreported here is, and I've spoken about the shortage of actual physical bodies they have, but we agree they have to sign a central midfielder.
Yeah.
And that might be the one tipping point. If they sign somebody who Guardiola thinks is substantially better than Gundogan,
and
is going to take Gundogan's minutes, then that might say, all right, I want to play because I'm getting older. I've had a great time here. Let's move on. But definitely. I think that's what could change it.
The Agatha Christie libel trial pitting Colin Rooney against Rebecca Vardy is expected to conclude today, Gab. I bet you loved every second of it.
I love every minute of it. I love the they released texts of those WhatsApp conversations, the ones that they were able to recover, the ones that weren't on, like, you know, damaged laptops or phones that fell into the North Sea. I love some of the unintentional humor. I do think there are some serious things to conclude from this, which is a certain part of the media's obsession with the day-to-day life of celebrities and people into it and the relationships between newspapers and the people that they cover.
She always wanted to set up all the wags together to get paparazzi take photo for the Sun is really disturbing.
I mean, there's a much broader conversation to be had, I think, about how celebrity works and so on and what the purpose of it is. I think even if Colleen Rooney loses this trial, I think she's won this trial.
Yeah.
And Rebecca the same Vardy applies in reverse for Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah. Do you think the winner of the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial plays the final against the winner of the Rebecca Vardy Colin Rooney trial?
I believe that's inevitable. I think the final already been booked in at the Central Tribunal in Doha next March. Back to Lionel Messi, Jules.
Yep.
During Paris Saint-Germain's tour of Doha, he took a penalty against a robot goalkeeper made of cardboard.
That's right.
It did not go well.
No, it didn't. It's not the first time. I think every
players that visit, that go to Doha face the robots. We've seen many videos before, and it's very rare that you score, because I think either the robot is very good or the robot cannot lose, I think, because he's so quick. He, you know, basically doesn't have legs and he just moves from right to left, like down and stuff like that. Messi tried the right top corner and the robot saw
it. He should have used some psychology on the robot. Maybe. Fake one way, go the other
way.
I
wonder if the robot responds to the Panenka well or not. Because, you know, if he's already that, I don't know. But what's the thing is you've got loads of people around, you know, obviously watching you doing it. And obviously...
Is it true the robot is programmed by the neuro people who provide the AI?
Maybe. You would love that.
By the way, ugliest robot.
Yeah, very. It looks so cheap.
The whole setup.
It looks like a funfair one that you roll with your hand, kind of thing.
If you're going to do it, if it's just a cardboard piece, make it look good.
I know. It looks like Arturo Vidal and his monster wages will leave Inter this summer, a year early, Gab, and he's deciding on his future destination in a very democratic way.
So, first of all, great news for Inter.
Yeah, massively.
If his wages go away, I suspect though it's maybe one of those things like, how about you pay me some money to not be here?
Yeah,
right?
Probably. Like
yeah, he went on Instagram and it's very Arturo Vidal. First, he films his girlfriend like dancing around the pool in a Flamengo top. And then at the end, he puts out an Instagram poll. Should I go to Flamengo or should I go to Colo-Colo in Chile? And people could vote on this. Now, when you already have the setup of the Flamengo shirt, the beautiful woman by the pool and everything, and it's Flamengo, yeah, it's Rio,
yeah,
versus, all due respect, Colo-Colo in Santiago.
We all know the answer.
Not quite
we
the same
the
thing.
We know the answer, exactly.
Anyway, Jules, this brings us to an end. Okay. But we got to come back. We got to come back on Monday.
We would have a Premier League champion.
Final verdicts. Final verdicts in Serie A, final verdicts in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Plenty more to talk about. Join us then. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.